This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome on in. This is The Final Out, Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein is behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the number. How you hop aboard as we react to a loss. Phillies, Yankees able to salvage the series up at Yankee Stadium. Phillies did take 2 of 3 with commanding and dominating wins on both Friday and Saturday. On Sunday, Phillies not so lucky. Yankees win this one 4-3 over the Phillies in the Bronx. For the Phillies, they will now head to Chicago to take on the White Sox for the final three games before the trade deadline. So a lot to talk about. Trade deadline front, a lot to talk about in this game, in this series specifically. I was up there yesterday in New York. Loads of Phillies fans all over the place. So I'm sure there are people tuning in right now, whether you're just enjoying your Sunday, you're out in the backyard, driving around the area, or perhaps on your way home on the Jersey Turnpike, returning home from New York. Would love to hear from you, reacting to this game and this weekend series up in New York, again, at 215-592-9494. This is The Final Out, and the wrap-up is sponsored by Roto-Rooter. When plumbing problems hit, wrap them up quick and call Roto-Rooter. Their team tackles clogs and leaks so you can stay in the game. Roto-Rooter, your MVP for plumbing solutions. Yankees win this one 4-3. It's one of those like annoying games. Like, it's not one of the losses we'll talk about at the end of the season. It's not some back-breaking game that, when all is said and done, when this 162 game year, you know, comes to an end, we'll be like, man, that was a real backbreaker. No, the Phillies had a very, very successful series weekend up in New York, and frankly, Friday and Saturday weren't even close. Like, you had, you know, the Daniel Roberts and Seth Johnsons and Alan Ronhell's pitching in Yankee Stadium. And typically speaking, if you had told me before the weekend that those guys would get all the work that they did, probably would not have said that it went well. Ironically, just because, as baseball is, the one game, because as Cliff Lee used to say, that's baseball, the one game they lost in this entire weekend was the one that Zach Wheeler pitched. So the two that you probably had more, you know, doubt and lack of confidence in, they were the ones they won. Zach Wheeler, he was not so great. He hasn't looked quite Zach Wheeler-ish the last couple of starts. We'll get to that in just a little bit here. But Phillies lose this one 4-3 to the Yankees. Otto Kemp played like the game of his life, homering twice and making a leaping diving play at third base. So he kind of single-handedly attempted to keep him in the game. Quiet day from the offense. Not the best day from Zach Wheeler. And at the end of the day, the Yankees, who didn't even hit that great. Like, quite frankly, Zach Wheeler looked bad, and I heard them talking about it on the post-game show, on the TV post-game show, I should say, and that if this was a different offense, perhaps an offense firing in all cylinders a little bit more for the Yankees, maybe not down Aaron Judge, you're probably looking at a lot more runs. Like, the Yankees let the Phillies off the hook a number of times today. It was, you know, a double, a sacrifice fly, and a single all in the bottom of the second inning, and that was enough for the Yankees to win this game. The biggest takeaway of the game is brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. And the biggest takeaway of the game is that Zach Wheeler, ever since that start against the Reds, where he... This isn't fair. Ever since that start against the Reds, it hasn't felt like he's the same. Now, he did have one. He had the outing against the Red Sox Monday night, where he had 10 strikeouts, and he looked, you know, pretty damn good. But even in that game, it felt like he had to labor a little bit more than usual to get through six innings. He got to 105 pitches, a lot of deep counts. The line score ultimately was solid. Six innings, two runs allowed. He did so on seven hits, but had to work a little bit harder than Zach Wheeler usually does in that game against Boston. In the two road starts he's had since that unbelievable, near-perfect game against the Cincinnati Reds, he had a six-inning, four-run performance in San Diego, and then today a 5 2/3 performance where he allows four runs. And in the case of today especially, it was all just one inning. Like, one inning where he hit two batters in a row. I believe he hit three batters total today. It really looked like that sweeper of his that is usually so dominant, he just couldn't find it. Like, he kept, I don't know if he was holding on to it too long or if he just couldn't locate it the way he usually does, and some frustration set in. But this has now become an issue with some other Phillies pitchers as well, which is that, like, when it rains, it pours. Most namely, Jesus Luzardo. Felt like a little bit when it rained, it poured in one particular inning for Zach Wheeler today, and that was enough. Now, it's not all his fault they lost. You expect Zach Wheeler to go out there and allow just one run every time he pitches. Offense, as I mentioned, outside of Otto Kemp, wasn't great. The third run came on a Nick Castellanos home run. But yeah, the biggest takeaway of the game, brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, is that Zach Wheeler, ever since that outing against the Reds, in particular on the road, not quite as sharp. I don't think it's some huge reason for concern, but this is now two of the last three outings where he's allowed, like, hasn't even had a quality start, where he's allowed four runs. And that, eye test wise, that outing against the Red Sox, I know he ended up with 10 strikeouts, and that'll boost your pitch count as well. But it did feel like he had to labor just a little bit more than he usually does to get through six innings. So that was my biggest takeaway from today's game. 215-592-9494. More on this game in just a second here. But let's go to Lenny in Pittman. What's up, Lenny?
I got three observations, if I could, and thank you for taking my call, sir. It's greatly appreciated.
Of course.
I know the season's 162 games, long season. They're neck and neck with the Mets. Sometimes at the end of the season, you could miss winning the division by one game. I really believe Topper today more or less said, oh, we took two from the Yankees. I'm just going to – everybody needs a rest all of a sudden. And I mean, he basically said – You could take this game if you wanted the Yankees.
Do you feel it's why they for anyone who's just joining us, maybe didn't see the lineup. So Turner DH'd, Kyle Schwarber played left field. He actually had a kind of a funny catch in left field. I don't think Schwarber playing left really hurt them. Otto Kemp's playing third base because Bohm is out. Sosa, he started at shortstop because Turner was DHing, and Weston Wilson was playing second base, and that's not uncommon, especially, you know, kind of how Bryson Stott has played this season and the fact that a left-handed pitcher in Carlos Rodon was starting the game. So I didn't think it was anything that out of the ordinary. I didn't think he, like, punted the game the way you put it. I think the reason they lost is because everyone other than Otto Kemp and Castellanos for that one home run took the day off at the plate.
Okay, would you agree with this then? And I see your point, and you made a valid one. This Rojas, I watched him come to the plate, and they said he's going to bunt the runner over. The very first pitch was right down the pike, and he waved at it to bunt and pulled back. Then the bunt, either he doesn't understand signs or doesn't get it, but they called it off, I guess.
Yeah, he only bunted on the first strike.
Right down the pike, and he never even got his bat off his shoulder. Strikes out on three straight pitches, and he went up the bunt.
Yeah, that might have been the worst at bat of the year, quite frankly. Trying to bunt, missing a strike.
I can't believe he's on a major league roster. He is terrible, really. Hey, look, Ella De La Cruz has got speed. But he also does other things. Okay, I get it. Rojas has got speed, but that's about it, man. Come on. And can I say one thing, too?
Yeah, go ahead.
John, have you actually tried to listen to a game? Not John Crump, man. He is dry as cornflakes. It is really hard to follow that guy. Trust me. I'll let it go.
Well, Lenny, I appreciate the call. Yes, I mean, I've watched and listened to all the Phillies broadcasters. Think they all do a pretty good job. If your biggest complaint from today's game was that you didn't like John Crux broadcasting, you're probably paying attention to the wrong thing. Justin, what do we think here? That Rojas at bat was pretty pitiful. Like, do we think that they really... I don't think he missed a sign because he saw the bunt sign on the first strike. Why are we calling the bunt off with Johan Rojas down 0-1? Like, what? If anything, he's such a bad hitter, you're not actually going to bunt with him down 0-2, but if anything, I would think about bunting him with two strikes before I tell him to swing away with one.
Yeah, no, that was, frankly, one of the worst at-bats it felt like of the season.
I mean, it could not have been... That could not have gone more wrong.
Yeah, it was three fastballs for strikes and looked at every single one of them. And the fact that the bunt sign wasn't on for the second strike, I
don't really understand
what the logic would have been behind that. But at the same time, it felt like one of those games where it would have been nice to steal it as it kind of went on.
Yeah.
But you would have, going into the week, said you would have taken both series, Red Sox, Yankees, I think you'd be okay with that.
Of course, you're going to take it.
You go into the White Sox series then hoping for a sweep.
And that is the biggest kind of takeaway from this week. We have seen a number... just ridiculously long. I saw our own Tucker Bagley tweet this. I was on this before the All-Star break. The Phillies have 21 American League games in a row here, like 21 games of interleague. That, I don't even have to look this up, is the longest streak that, maybe not just in Phillies history, but that any team has ever played ever of interleague games in a row, given that 3 years ago you played 20 interleague games total. I mean, it's kind of just a weird scheduling quirk here for them, but I'd say that the most important, most critical week, certainly from just juice around the series and the teams that they're playing, probably this Red Sox-Yankees week, and they played pretty damn well in both of them, especially the Friday and Saturday games in New York. And again, I get Judge wasn't in the lineup these last 2 days, but like they blew them out Friday and Saturday. It was really, if Zach Wheeler goes out there and looks anything like Zach Wheeler, other than just that one stupid inning in the second inning, they do get a sweep in Yankee Stadium.
I feel like the Wheeler thing, I'm not too worried about, as opposed to like the Rangers.
It really
Lizardo
just
stuff.
Looked like there was one, he just like, it was like he kept gripping it too hard.
Yeah, I think it's probably a mechanical adjustment that they throw a bullpen session this week and
he figures it out.
Yeah, and they figure it out and they're able to, because he's pulling everything glove side, it seems like.
And he was doing that too in the Boston start.
Yes, in the last start as well.
He was doing it in the Red Sox start as well. And again, I know the line score was 2 runs, 10 strikeouts, and it looks like he was great.
He didn't have his best stuff.
I distinctly remember watching that start being like, he's fortunate to have gotten through 6, and he needed every ounce of the tank to get through that. So, yeah, I think the biggest thing from this weekend is Zach Wheeler, like, all right, whatever, you know, if water reaches its level point, you know, it all evens out. Like, you would have expected that Zach Wheeler and maybe one of the other starters would have come through for you this weekend. You win 2 of 3. Instead, Wheeler's the one you lose. That's weird. That's baseball. Otto Kemp tried to do everything you can. The only reason why today was a game at all is because Otto Kemp played the game of his life. Good for him while they try and figure their way through this this stretch where Alec Boehm is on the injured list. So overall, again, 4-3 win. 4-3 win for the Yankees. 4-3 loss for the Phillies. The real reason why it's bad is that the Mets seem to be on a bit of a heater right now. They won again last night. As of this second, the Mets now a full game lead in the National League East. They play a little bit later on tonight in San Francisco against the Giants. So by the end of the night, we could be looking at a 1.5 game lead for the Mets in the National League East. The Phillies currently, up in the wild card by a couple of games. But when we're already projecting to where this team will end, you know, postseason ranking wise, getting a division spot and getting that first round bye is massive. And with each and every loss the Phillies have here and the Cubs and actually the Dodgers have fallen off quite mightily here right around the All-Star break. But the Cubs, Dodgers, and Mets right now, the three division winners, if the Phillies cannot find their way into the top two, then you're playing a best-of-three wildcard series. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that over the next couple of months, but each and every game is certainly important, and the fact that the Mets are playing well right now, want to keep them, hopefully the Phillies can get back into first place soon enough. Got three games against the White Sox coming up here that should not be difficult. They got the worst record in baseball. Minimum two out of three, definitely need that while all of our attention is on the trade deadline. But overall, never too early to standings watch, never too early to keep track of the magic number, never too early to say this was a critical loss. So that is a takeaway as well. 215-592-9494. That is the number how you hop aboard. Coming up next, we will get you our player of the game and talk more about Phillies and Yankees. It is Buzz with you, Justin Morgenstein producing. This is The Final Out right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein is behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the number how you get in. I have MLB Network on here in the studio watching the Hall of Fame induction ceremony here. And we will a little bit later in my show post final out, we will get a little bit into that as a former Philly. And it actually went in the Hall of Fame today, so we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Would also love to hear from anyone who not just made the drive up to New York City, the Bronx, on this Sunday or this weekend. Anyone who made their way up to Cooperstown for Hall of Fame induction weekend. I've been to the Baseball Hall of Fame twice, never for induction weekend, so I'm sure it is very, very cool to be up there. Justin, I think I'm holding out for if Utley goes in.
Yeah, I've been once. It's actually very cool.
For induction weekend?
I went the year it was Tony Gwynn and Cal Ripken, so that was a cool one.
That is pretty cool. So I think I'm holding out if Utley gets the nod, which I'm starting to get the sense it will happen one of these years.
It's the way the votes are trending.
I think that's when I'll go. Actually, two former Phillies went in the Hall of Fame today. One with a Phillies P, one not with a Phillies P. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. But right now, we continue to react to this Phillies loss at Yankee Stadium. Phillies take 2 of 3 from the Yankees, take 4 of 6 in this little AL East portion of the schedule they had, taking 2 of 3 from the Red Sox, followed by 2 of 3 from the Yankees up in New York. The player of the game from today's game brought to you by South Jersey Gas. Over 100 years of reliability, always dependable, always ready. SouthJerseyGas.com/lovemyhome. And not that often that we give the player of the game to a guy on the losing team, but I'm going to do it. I mean, Otto Kemp was the best player on the field today. His first ever multi-home run game in the major leagues. He drove in 2 of the Phillies' 3 runs with that and also made an unbelievable play at third base and locked down the hot corner all day long. So Otto Kemp, if you want to blame literally anyone else for why they lost today, be my guest. Otto Kemp single-handedly tried to keep them in that game. Again, the only other run was a Nick Castellanos home run a little bit before in the same inning, the same top of the second inning, just prior to Otto Kemp's home run. And the bullpen also looked solid today. Tanner Banks, I mean, we don't talk enough about just how clutch and actually pretty good he's been for a guy who I feel like coming into the season, everyone just expected to just suck at every turn. And given the whole rest of the bullpen has been not trustworthy, I mean, I don't think there's any argument at all that he is a top three arm in your bullpen right now.
He's kind of a rich man's Brad Hand. Like, you don't really expect much from him, but you look up and all of a sudden it's like 8 straight scoreless outings.
Like,
and you're like, how did that happen?
Than Brad Hand here. Like he just, he took down an inning and a third today. He does the up down. He's willing to come in mid innings. He inherits a lot of, like, he does it all. He's not, like, he just takes the baseball and he pitches. And if, for all the guys you don't like down in that bullpen, Strom's had his struggles. He pitched a clean inning today to keep it within one. Kirkering, for the most part, has been pretty solid, though he's had his ups and downs certainly as well. For all the guys down in that pen who no one can stand to watch pitch, Tanner Banks, like, his ERA is now down to 3.30. His whip is 0.97. Tip your cap to him. Like, I think we as a city need to, one of these days, issue an apology to Tanner Banks. Everyone just assumed he sucked. Like, everyone just, and also not talked about enough that ever since Alvarado went down and, like, they needed another lefty in the worst way. Like, Tanner Banks has pretty much done everything you've asked for him, from him. And, again, took down an inning in the third to bridge it to Strom in the eighth today. So, hats off to him. He continues to be really, really good. 215-592-9494. That is the number how you hop aboard. Let's go to Sandy in Southampton. What's up, Sandy?
Hey, how you doing today, Buzz?
Doing great.
I'm on my way home from Savannah Bananas, so I saw a totally different baseball game.
I was going to say, I know the Bananas sold out an entire weekend series down at CBP. I saw they had a rain delay. First of all, we're looking out the window right now. It is like a monsoon out there, just kind of out of nowhere here. But I know there was rain troubles down at the ballpark today as well.
Yeah, they put the tarp on for a little bit, but it wasn't that bad. I just have two things. Number one, Wheeler's entitled to a couple of bad games, as long as that's all it stays is a couple, you know. And that guy Lenny should be a Mets fan because he had absolutely nothing good to say about our guys today.
They did lose 4-3, and it was a frustrating performance.
The bats were missing except for Kemp and Castellanos.
And that's really the struggle. I've actually maintained the stance here. And we'll talk about this over the next hour and a half as well. If I could have one, I think they need both. I think they need both, and you know, a bat and a relief help, or a bullpen arm for some relief help. But this offense really concerns me. Like I want to rip my hair out more on the days where the offense is bad than where the bullpen is bad. And there are just so many games like today where like one guy shows up and the. It's just non-competitive at bats, inning after inning after inning after inning after inning. And when I play out in my head, like, what's going to be the downfall of this team in October, if there is one, it just feels more likely that it's going to be that than a bullpen. Certainly, you got to go get yourself an arm. This bullpen is not good enough. I'm not saying that in any sense. But this offense is really a struggle for me to grapple with, especially with the fact that you're starting, you know, Kepler almost every day, and right now Bohm's out, so you're getting guys like Weston Wilson and Otto Kemp more playing time. And Kemp played really well today, but this isn't the type of lineup I would want to see in October.
Well, yeah, the offense is hit or miss, you know.
No pun intended. And sometimes they all collectively just take a day off.
They all go cold, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
I don't know how you fix that, you know.
Well, you can't fix it all in one trade deadline. Sandy, I appreciate the call. Hopefully... Sounds like you enjoyed the Savannah Bananas. If anyone else is on their way home from the Savannah Bananas, would love to see that. I saw Shane Victorino was a part of it this weekend. He's done a few things with the Savannah Bananas at this point. I think he's a multi-time player. But you probably saw, if you're coming home from the Bananas right now, you probably saw more offense in that game than you did from the Phillies today. Certainly more non-Otto Kemp offense than you saw from the Phillies today. This offense is a concern of mine. This offense is a struggle. This offense, I know their three runs came today on three long balls, but does not hit for a ton of power if your name's Kyle Schwarber. This team does not, you know, leaves a lot of runners on base. This team has days where they just look lethargic at the plate. The Yankees, by the way, have a lot of those same issues. And again, this game would have been, it's weird to talk about two likely playoff teams this way. But if the Yankees' offense was not in the rut that they're in right now, Justin, probably looking at a different game today than 4-3, like still a chance to win in the ninth.
Yeah, also defense gives me some 2022 Phillies-type vibes right now. I mean, what we saw on Friday night with the throw home and with the confusion in the outfield, I mean,
yesterday, Sosa banging into Marsh, and they dodged a bullet there, by the way.
Yeah, no, I was glad to see him all good. But, I mean, if Judge is out here long-term, they got a lot of holes to fill. And now... it feels like when he comes back, they might throw Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield, who actually can't move, and they got a lot of issues. So I don't know if Ryan McMahon and Ahmed Rosario are just going to, you know, patch those things up there for the Yankees, but took advantage of it.
We don't have a play of the game here on Final Out, but if we did, it would be, for anyone who missed it, actually, if we can quickly cue this up in the system, this was, this throw and this tag from Johan Rojas to JT Realmuto, just give me a thumbs up when you have it, was one of the best outfield assists on, you know, collective effort outfield assists you will ever see. This actually, you know, prevented a run and prevented that, you know, the early Yankee scoring attack from tacking on even more runs. Here's how it sounded here on WIP. Oh, sorry, I misread you, Justin. I apologize about that. Perhaps we don't have it cut. No worries at all. But take my word for it. Johan Rojas had an unbelievable throw to JT Realmuto. Realmuto applied an unbelievable tag on Cody Bellinger, and that would have been our play of the game if we had it. 215-592-9494. Don't worry about it. That is the number, how you get involved. Again, if you're driving home from the Bronx, or maybe you just watch this game, listen to this game on WIP, would love to hear from you. Would love to hear from you, from anyone who went up to New York this weekend. And your thoughts on the last weekend and week that the Phillies have had here. Phillies win, or Phillies lose. I keep saying Phillies win. Phillies lose 4-3 in a Yankees win in the final game of this series. And again, just have one game remaining, one final game, or one final series remaining prior to the trade deadline on Thursday. 215-592-9494. That's the number how you hop aboard. Coming up next, we'll get to our injury report and as well as our pitch count and a few more things we have to do here on Final Out before we open it up to full forum sports talk. It is Buzz with you, Justin Morgenstein, producing here on a Sunday afternoon, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Never a doubt that we could dig up that highlight from earlier on today. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Final Out. Buzz with you, Justin Morgenstein, producing here on a Sunday afternoon. Phillies lose 4-3 at the hands of the Yankees in the Sunday series finale before the Phillies will head to the Midwest here to take on the White Sox, their second trip to Chicago this season. What is it? Rate Field? Is that the official name of
Guaranteed
that ballpark?
Rate Field.
I think it's just Rate Field now.
Really?
Double check me on that. I was thinking about, this is just a random thing. I don't know if there could possibly be a city like there is in Chicago where perhaps the most famous ballpark in the world, maybe the second most, Yankee Stadium, Fenway, Wrigley Field, got to be like the most famous in all of baseball. And every single person knows what Wrigley Field is called. And I don't know if you polled even people who follow baseball and asked them right now, what is the Chicago White Sox stadium name? I don't know if 25% of people could tell it to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button.
Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Do we have confirmation?
Yeah, it has been shortened to Rate Field.
To just Rate Field. I mean, talk about a stadium with like all the aura in the world to just nothing. The Chicago White Sox, who I don't think have gotten their 40th win yet of the season. Yeah, 38-68 as of this moment. How about a sweep? How about a sweep in Chicago? That team stinks. Let's go out to Rate Field and take three from the White Sox. Minimum 2 of 3. So the Phillies will head there as they continue this interleague, just like almost full-blown month of the season. And they did so following a loss at the hands today of the Yankees. Now, of course, all of the attention this week will be on the MLB trade deadline. I heard Murph say on the post-game show that the Phillies front office will be relocating their operations, relocating camp out to Chicago this week, which I don't think that's necessarily always been the case. Not positive on this, but I think there have been times in the past where they've been on the road and Dombrowski, the front office, just remained home. But they will remain on the road with the team out in Chicago this week as they have three against the White Sox. And then I guess on Thursday, the Phillies will actually physically be home for when that 6 p.m. deadline hits Thursday evening. And then the first post-deadline series is going to be that three-game set against the Tigers this coming weekend. So we'll get more on that in just a little bit. But first, I got to get you the pitch count and the injury report, which is brought to you by Plumbers Union Local 690, protecting the health of the nation. Visit plumbers690.org. So as I mentioned earlier, Zach Wheeler struggled to get through 5 2/3 innings today, did not have his best stuff, really looked like he was holding on to that sweeper just a little too long, in particular in that second inning. Allows 5 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, got through with 103 pitches. And then on the injury front, which is that Edmundo Sosa and Nick Castellanos seem to be fine. Nick Castellanos, he missed yesterday's game with a knee injury. Both right fielders for both the Phillies and Yankees yesterday missed the game due to injury. Castellanos was back in the lineup today. Aaron Judge went on the injured list last night, so he's going to be on the shelf for New York for a little bit here. But Edmundo Sosa, who had that nasty collision with Brandon Marsh in shallow left field of yesterday's game, they officially said it was a back contusion, seemed to be precautionary, the fact that he came out of the game, but he was back playing shortstop for the Phillies today. So seemingly everything okay with Edmundo Sosa, everything okay with Nick Castellanos. Aaron Nola, we learned a little bit. He was with the team in New York. We learned a little bit earlier this week. Any week or potentially day now, he will be completing a rehab assignment. He'll probably pitch at least 2 rehab games before coming back to the major leagues, but could be just a couple of weeks until we see Aaron Nola back with the team. And Alec Bohm, I would imagine within the next couple of weeks as well, we would see him return. Very important to get this entire team healthy as they gear up for a stretch run, a post-deadline stretch run into the postseason. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to our guy Joe in the Northeast. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Joe. Joe?
Yeah, Dan?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, but how you doing?
Doing great.
I'll give you an update about Robertson's outing last night, but let me talk about this game today. Yeah, again, I'm rooting against the Phillies for the rest of the year, okay, because they don't care about winning, all right? And here you go again today with that dumb Thompson, all right, putting Schwarber out there in left field. He won't be happy until that guy gets injured. And Fransky, I had it on the radio.
Joe, he plays what, 5-6 games?
That's all it takes, Stan. Don't you understand that? It only takes one game. It happened earlier in the year where he pulled a hamstring and he was out 10 days. And he's not a good outfielder.
Well, we all agree. Yeah, as Justin just said, that was last year. And everyone agrees he's not a good outfielder. He stuck him in left field with Zach, with his ace on the mound, and probably does so five, six times a year. Now, I understand that it only takes one game, right. And but, I mean, Joe, that is relatively low risk. So, well, so you're rooting against the wait. So to be clear.
The season will be, they won't have to worry about making any trades if that guy gets hurt. And then, remember his policy was when the guy gets the day
you're
off.
Talking about him like he's Joel Embiid. He's not the most fragile guy on earth just because he's playing left field.
He broke his leg when they put him in left field when the Cubs did that. All right, they had him playing left field.
That was in 2016.
He broke his leg in 2016.
Joe, that was, Joe, that was three presidential terms ago.
He's out the whole year, and he came back, and he helped them win the
Joe, that was nearly a decade ago. So because he hurt himself one time, he can't play five games and left?
Let's go to our thing about giving them the day off. They take Turner away. He's still in there as a designated hitter. He didn't get the day off.
Yeah, he's taking him off. It's a day off without giving him a day off. He's one of your best hitters on the team. You want him to sit completely?
And Schwarber was one of your best hitters.
So, Joe, would you prefer that Turner not play at all? Would you prefer he not play at all?
Our Homer announcers, all right?
Oh, so now it's the broadcasters.
Our Homer announcers. You know, do you remember a few weeks ago when Romano threw a strike, a slider? They went on, oh, look at that slider. It was like when Tug McGraw struck out Willie Wilson and Lidge got the last out of the World Series.
This was on TV or radio you're talking about?
Pardon me?
On TV or radio, they acted like the World Series
ended. That was on TV. They made a big deal. And today, about Rojas's throw. You kidding me?
It was a great play, Joe.
It was a great play by Realmuto. Otherwise, that's
it was also a really strong throw by Rojas.
That guy should not be. He should be in Double A Reading because of Crawford keeping him in Triple A. That guy, that's a wasted roster spot with him on this. Listen, if you have a left-handed, right-handed pitcher, and you have Marsh in there, okay, and now they go to the late innings, and you bring in a left-hander, you telling me they're going to bring Rojas up?
Joe, I'm not the leader of the Johan Rojas fan club, but I'm just saying that the throw he made today was a good throw. I want them to improve the outfield
throw.
Too.
It was a throw. I don't know if there was another man on base, but I mean, it would if there was a
there
guy
was not.
On base.
Off, don't believe there
that
was.
That would have never been able to been cut off. And that throw, it was a super athletic play by Realmuto.
It was both.
Saved that from going to the backstop.
It didn't really matter if it went to the backstop or not. It's as simple as was he safe or out. It was a high throw. Realmuto went up and got it, and he tagged him out. All right, so you're annoyed that Schwarber played one of his five games in left
field? I said that all year. Schwarber should never play left field.
I know. Okay, so I'm saying you're upset that Schwarber was in left. You're upset that Rojas doesn't do anything, include the throw today. You're upset that the broadcasters got overexcited at that play and the Romano strike.
I think somebody must tell them to pump it up about these guys because they are. It makes you sick. It makes you sick listening to them, really. Yeah, and let me tell you about Robertson.
You have any complaints about the vendors too? While we're at it, anyone else upset you?
Yeah. Well, you'll see. You'll see how the Phillies are going to fall when they bring in Robertson. That's telling you what's out there that they're going to acquire for bullpen help. All right, and the guy last night, all right, he gave up three hits, no runs, because the left field his first out was a deep fly to the right field warning track. Then he gives up a single to center field, a flared end to right, and the third baseman makes a out on a fly ball going into the dugout. Now he's got two outs and 2-1. The guy rips a ball to left field, base hit, and the left fielder throws the guy out at home plate. That was Mr. Robertson's first inning. And he was making a big deal with the umpire about the ball. The announcers were saying, what's he talking about? He's got the ball, and he must have went 5 minutes talking to this ump. You know,
so impressed is what I'm hearing.
No. If you're going to bring him, remember him in 2022? If he didn't get strike one, strike two over where he could throw that slider, they would chase. They're going to rock him. and don't expect. And that's telling you, if you're spending $5 million for this guy, right, there's no relievers out there that they're going to acquire to make this team any better. And that's what the second I told Rob Ellis, he would say, oh, I said, look, wait till the starters, when they start falling apart. Okay, you only have two guys, and they ought to try to trade Suarez right now, right? Because, you know,
Ranger Suarez, they should get rid of him.
I would trade him. I would trade him to the Padres and try to get Luis Arraez, who's a free agent, just like Suarez.
Oh, get the hell out of here!
Just like Suarez is.
I got you, Joe. I appreciate the call. I mean, where do I start? I both love and am now driven nuts by Joe. It's the type of phone call it's entertaining. It's entertaining to go back and forth, but we're getting mad about the broadcasters getting overly. First of all, I watch and listen to just about every game. I do not recall them throwing a parade for Jordan Romano throwing a strike. I think they're able to acknowledge that he's struggling at the moment. You have, what else did he complain about? Schwarber playing. I mean, seriously, at the end of the year, do we think Schwarber will play north of five games and left?
No.
Like, he's played, what, maybe three so far?
Yeah, I don't think it's even been five.
Okay, if he's not that fragile. It's like, okay, yeah, he's slow. He made kind of a funny-looking catch today where he fell backwards on his ass. But, I mean, who was losing sleep over that? And you did it with your, again, your stud pitcher who didn't have his best stuff today after he hit a couple batters. But you figure that if there's ever a day to do it, it's with Zach Wheeler on the mound.
I think Joe just has a gripe that Cal Stevenson is not on the Phillies roster at the current moment, and he refuses to root for them.
I thought that for a while, too, but then remember earlier in the year he was against bringing Cal Stevenson back up because he thought it was going to, like, halt his development. I never know what Joe wants. He's not rooting for the Phillies because Thompson put Schwarber in left five times a year, because the broadcasters are too positive, and that Rojas is still on the team. So all that's needed is Schwarber needs to DH all 162. Rojas needs to go down to Redding, and the broadcasters need to get more negative and cynical, and then he's back in?
And all they need is bullpen help, so they should go out and get Luis Arraez.
Correct. That is correct. How are you going to go trade? You're going to trade Ranger Suarez for Luis Arraez? Like, your number two or number three starter for guy hits for contact but doesn't hit for any power. He's like
pretty below average year for his standards.
Also, pretty below average for Luis Arraez is like what everyone with the Bryson Stott fan club thought he could be. That's what Luis Arraez is, and you're gonna trade Suarez away for rich man's Bryson Stott? Like, no way. No way am I making that trade. 215-592-9494. Some electricity here at the end of the final out. Don't go anywhere, though. We are keeping it here. I got you for one more hour. It's an hour of power, as Rob Ellis would say. And it's also a shorty show, as Jody Mack would say. So I got you for one more hour here. We're going to transition the talk to the trade deadline. But of course, if you're on your way home from New York, if you're driving around, you listen to the game today, we'd love to get your thoughts on the ball game and this weekend series up at Yankee Stadium. We're going to talk a little trade deadline when we come back. It's Buzz with you, Justin Morgenstein producing. I got you till 7 here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. That's right. The show goes on. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein remains behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the number. How you hop aboard. Final out is over. But the Phillies talk, that's going to continue for about the next hour here until I hand things over to Kyle Forsini. I have a feeling he'll continue the baseball talk. He'll hand things to Ricky Ricardo. I have a feeling he'll continue the baseball talk. The Phillies talk and the show will always go on here all night long. And it's officially trade deadline week. We are officially here on a Sunday, little after 6 o'clock. And at this time on Thursday, it'll be pencils down for all Major League Baseball general managers, president of baseball operations, executives, and the like. We are now officially 96 hours away from the trade deadline, when we will officially know what this Phillies roster is going to look like, who got added and who did not get added between now and the end of the season. There's no more waiver wire deadline. There's no more anything. Like that is it. July 31st, which is 4 days from now at 6 p.m., that is it. And Dave Dombrowski and his staff have 4 days to improve this baseball team and make it a real contender. And what I want to do here for the next hour or so before I, again, hand things over to Kyle, I want to get people on the record. Justin, what do they call it on the afternoon show? An On the Record Friday? On the Record Friday. We're doing an On the Record Sunday. On the Record Sunday. And I've produced a number of On the Record Fridays, too. I was just, you know, confirming with my, you're with them each and every day. On the Record Sunday here. Get on the record with your trade deadline predictions. What, when we're here 4 days from now, fast forward 4 days into the future, I'm not asking necessarily for specific names. That's going to be hard to predict. I'm not necessarily even asking for what's going to go out prospect-wise. But I want to know how different, if you do believe that it will look different, this baseball team will look 4 days from now. I want to start the show there at 215-592-9494. For anyone who heard my show last night, I believe in Dave Dombrowski. I believe that he's very aware of what needs to be done at this trade deadline and is willing to do it. I don't think he's some prospect hugger. I don't think he's one of these guys who's going to just try and improve the margins. I'm sure he'll say that on Thursday or Friday or whenever he speaks for the first time post-deadline, if that's all they're able to add. But I think he's very aware, him and his staff are very aware, that they need to take a swing here. I think that they are very aware of what the temperature around the city is right now and very aware that if this team does not get real-life additions, if this team does not get the necessary players it needs to get over the hump in October, then he's really running out of chances here, that he is really running out of chances to help this specific window. And I'm going to go on the record. I believe in Dave Dombrowski. I believe in Dave Dombrowski, and I believe that they will get an everyday position player. Maybe it's a third baseman in Eugenio Suarez. Maybe it's an outfielder. Someone who will displace Max Kepler. I think the Suarez thing is unlikely, but not out of the question. I think they get an everyday, more than likely, outfielder to replace Max Kepler. I think at minimum they get a middle-of-the-pack bullpen arm, and hopefully multiple bullpen arms. But I, when I sit here and I look into the future 4 days, I think Dave Dombrowski adds both of those things. And I want to know if people agree at 215-592-9494. We now know, and I've made this point a number of times, but we now know that Dave Dombrowski is not unwilling to be aggressive. He is not unwilling to go out there and take a big swing. It is now confirmed that he tried to take a big swing on Garrett Crochet a season ago. And he tried to deal multiple big-name Phillies prospects for Garrett Crochet, and the deal got rejected. The White Sox ultimately, at the end of the day, said no. And if he is willing to be aggressive, if he is not unwilling to part with some of the big-name Phillies prospects they have in this organization, I would be still pretty shocked if Andrew Painter goes on the move, but I think Justin Crawford, I think Eduardo Tait, I think Aiden Miller, I think those kinds of guys are all on the table at a trade deadline like this. And I believe that if there is any hesitation, if there's any doubt about dealing one of those prospects, it's probably coming from ownership anyway, not wanting to completely mortgage the future and mortgage what this team will look like 5-10 years from now. I trust Dave Dombrowski. I believe in Dave Dombrowski. I believe Dave Dombrowski knows. If there has ever been a trade deadline in the history of trade deadlines for this team or any team where the necessary needs were not more abundantly clear than this, I can't think of it. Like, everyone is so in agreement. It does not matter if you're in the Phillies front office or a Phillies diehard fan or you're a casual to the point where you know, where you watch one game a year. Every single person is very keenly aware of what is necessary for the Phillies at this particular trade deadline. And I think Dave Dombrowski is going to pleasantly surprise us. Pleasantly surprise a lot of people in this fan base who feel like they're in a very skeptical mindset regarding the next 4 days. I believe in Dombrowski. I think my prediction, again, as I said, my prediction is they'll get an outfielder. They'll get at least one bullpen arm, if not two. I don't think we're going to come away from this saying, man, he really added nothing. Man, he really didn't do anything to help this team. Man, all these other teams took big swings, and Dave Dombrowski didn't. I believe in him. That's my prediction. I want to know how you feel at 215-592-9494. At the end of the day, we are dealing with a very likely Hall of Famer here. It is Hall of Fame weekend. Dave Dombrowski, I would say, pretty likely to find himself in the executive wing in Cooperstown one of these years after he hangs it up. Right, Dave Dombrowski, I understand he has been a GM or a president in a number of different eras here in Major League Baseball, through the 90s, 2000s, 2010s, now into, you know, halfway through the 2020s. And I understand that there's a lot of differences in how baseball operations are conducted today versus how they used to be conducted perhaps the 90s and 2000s. It is more of a seller's market than it ever has been. There are more teams looking to buy at these last couple of trade deadlines where 12 teams make the postseason each and every year than there ever have been, right? Like, I understand it. I get it. It is harder to accomplish. But he cannot possibly be blind to the flaws this specific group has. He cannot possibly not feel the temptation to invest in this team. Again, they just had a 4-2 week. They're still, at minimum, you know, as of right now, a game within the NL East. They're still just a couple of games out from having a bye in the National League. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, we all see the flaws. They are one of the best teams in the NL and will be right there at the end for one of those premier playoff slots that will give them a very direct path at the World Series and a very direct path to contend for a championship, to which Dombrowski is in search of his third. Winning one with the Marlins, and then winning one with the Red Sox. He is the type of guy who has made big-time moves before at trade deadlines and had them pay off. Right? I heard Jack on Friday talking about the fact that he acquired Steve Pierce in 2018 at towards the end of his career, and he ended up winning World Series MVP. This is not out-of-the-water stuff for Dave Dombrowski. And I know that previous deadlines have been regarded as wildly disappointing to people. 2023 was awful. Last year, Austin Hayes and Estevez did not really work out, right? 22 was probably the best he's had since being with the Phillies. But I'm willing to say it. I have faith in Dave Dombrowski, and my prediction is that I think they do get that position player and that relief arm. I don't know exactly how good, but I think that he will address it to some extent, both of the glaring needs that this team has on the roster right now. And I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. And the last thing here, before I go to Justin Morgenstein producing, is I am willing to, and this is more of a fan mindset kind of thing, I'm willing to have an attitude based in belief, not just prove me wrong. I'm willing to have an attitude of, you know what, like, this year feels like it's going to be different. This year feels like a year they could get over the hump. This year feels like a year where we're sitting here 4 days from now, or the afternoon show, and the whole WIP lineup will be at McGurk's on Thursday, where we say to ourselves, actually, like, Dave Dombrowski, maybe we're not entirely pleased. Maybe it felt like a little bit of an overpay. I think we're actually going to come away from this deadline, when all is said and done, a little bit more pleasantly surprised than most people are anticipating. And again, my prediction is that they do get both of their needs here to some extent. And I'm willing to believe in Dave Dombrowski. And I'm asking you right now, the WIP listening audience, whether you're willing to join me. Are you willing to fully emotionally invest and have belief in our front office? Our front office, who I believe, I said this last night, got some pushback for it. I do think Dave Dombrowski has actually reached the point where he is underrated here as someone who leads the Phillies front office. You want to talk about Kyle Schwarber and Zach Wheeler, the two best players on the Phillies? He did acquire both of them. And while his trade deadlines are up for debate and certainly willing to be questioned, I do believe that he turned around this organization in a real cultural way, from a losing organization of 10 years to now a winning organization who is in contention every season. And Justin, I played this audio on the... I'm not queuing up audio here, but I'm just telling you about it. I queued the audio yesterday when Alex was producing me, of Elliott during his call on Friday saying that you know, Jack was sitting here blaming Dombrowski left and right for why this team hasn't gotten a championship. And for once, Elliot had a baseball take that I actually agreed with, which is like, listen, he's put them in position to win. These players are somehow getting off the hook and are getting exonerated from blame when they have been the ones to choke in 23, in 24. There is not a I firmly believe this. There is not a deadline move he could have made last year that would have prevented that embarrassment they had against the Mets. The entire offense chasing stuff out of the zone and a bullpen forgetting how to pitch. There was nothing he could have done to prevent Jeff Hoffman and Matt Strom falling off the way they did. And that had a ripple down effect to why Estevez was on the mound in the end. I think Dombrowski has gotten to the point of actually becoming underrated. I think I'm willing to have an attitude of belief. And listen, if he does nothing over the next 4 days, I reserve the right to change my mind. But I'm all in on Dombrowski actually having a positive trade deadline that we can celebrate, not be frustrated with. And I want to know if other people agree and if you're willing to drop the, well, just prove me wrong kind of attitude. 215-592-9494. That is the number, how you hop aboard. Get to the phones in just 1 second here. Justin Morgenstein, again, we are now a little less than 96 hours from this trade deadline. Give me your prediction. How does this play out?
Well, I think it plays out from a standpoint of, I guess, what do they get? I would say that it's going to be a bat and a bullpen arm, but what caliber it's going to be, I think,
that's really just the question.
And
yes,
going back, I guess, to your main point of, do you believe in Dave Dombrowski in this front office heading in this trade deadline? Like, no. And I'm frankly dreading the trade deadline just because it's one of those things.
I think you speak for the majority, by the
way. Yeah, the past two seasons, I think they've had legitimate chances to win the World Series, and they could have improved in a number of just different areas by some moves that, you know, they didn't have to go get the guy. Like, no 100 top 100 prospects were traded deadline last year, so I understand that the market was probably in a place where it was very difficult to get a real game-changing impact type of guy. But even 2 years ago in 23, when they clearly needed an extra bullpen arm, didn't go get one. They needed another bat. They
23, I think, was the worst one.
They get Rodolfo Castro, who has never really been in the big leagues for any extended period of time.
No, he stinks, yeah.
And then last year, having the best record in baseball, not really reinforcing. I know he tried to get Crochet, but ultimately didn't get it.
By the way, how much would you kill for Austin Hayes and Carlos Estevez on the team right
now? Well, yeah, of course, they would be two ideal guys they could go out and get.
Feels like they should just... Yeah, if we could go back. If he just kept that and not had the offseason he had getting Kepler and getting Jordan Romano, Phillies would be in a better spot.
Sure. And I'm just in the mindset of, at this point, I have to see it to believe it. I just have seen the last two deadlines, the way they've trended. I feel like we've had the same kind of discussion going into those deadlines, and it hasn't really, you know, reaped the results that we've been looking for. And I think that this team is a really good bat and a bullpen arm away from being, you know, where we want them to be, which is in the contention for a World Series. This is kind of a wide open National League, a lot of good teams, but the Phillies are definitely one of them. And if they can go out and get an impact guy, I think, and to me, the impact guy has to be the bat, because I don't want to trade, you know, guys like Tyeek, guys like Arun Escobar, guys like Aiden Miller for a bullpen arm that, you know, even if they're under control for the next couple of years, bullpen arms are so up and down.
So
we've seen it with Jeff Hoffman over this past year. Even, you know, I know the Phillies didn't bring him back, but he's not having a great season. So I need somebody that I can really, you know, invest in and say to myself, look, this is somebody who's going to be here for the long term, be here for, you know, not just a rental this year. I like Suarez, but I don't love the idea of a rental. And if they can get somebody who's going to be here for the next couple of years and can impact the team for this window, the rest of it, I think that's the road they have to go down. But I haven't seen Dave Dombrowski do it yet. So I'm kind of just waiting. And when it happens, I'll be excited, but I have to see it to believe it.
215-592-9494. That is the number, how you hop aboard. Feels like we've become a very prove-it kind of city. Like, except for when it comes to the Eagles, when it comes to the Phillies, the mindset really seems to have set in with a lot of people this year of like, oh, wake me up when they get to the NLCS, or wake me up when we get to October. I've seen this team fail in the playoffs too many times. And when, with the Sixers, how many, you know, give me a dollar every time you've ever heard, wake me up when they get to the second round. And with the Flyers, people are sick of the rebuild, and it's like, wake me up when they actually make the playoffs. And now with Dave Dombrowski and the trade deadline, it feels like more often than not, people have your mindset of, wake me up when he does something. Like, I got to see it to believe it.
But to me, I think it's, my thinking is an indictment of the players. Like, I think they have a lot of guys who could be part of a World Series caliber team. And we've seen them have great postseason moments. You've seen Bryce, you've seen Schwarber, you've seen Zach Wheeler, guys like that go out there and make real impacts in the postseason, but they just need that little bit of extra to get over. And you see a ton of like big market teams every year. Dodgers last year, go out and get Tommy Edman. He wins NLCS MVP. The Yankees last year, go get Chaz Chisholm. Yeah, that was almost the rough one. But they go out and get Jazz, and they go to the World Series. So they've, year after year, sort of made that impact. Hopefully that doesn't get the drop board on the afternoon show. But, yeah, they have to go get a guy like that to make a real impact.
215-592-9494 is how you get in. Listen, I'm willing to get hurt. I'm willing to fully emotionally invest and say, I believe in Dombrowski. Like, it's been too many years that feels like it's been, like, the end result, I know what he offered for Crochet last year, the end result has not been consistent with his resume. It has not been consistent with the Hall of Fame guy that I still believe is in there. And this year finally feels like the year. If there was ever going to be a year for him to break out, make that move we've all been waiting for, actually go get a high caliber everyday starting outfielder and a real impact relief arm, while maybe overpaying. That might be part of the Dave Dombrowski experience. This feels like the year it's going to happen. That is my prediction. It's time for you to get on the record on a Get on the Record Sunday here at 215-592-9494. Let's kick it off with Warren in Gwinnett Valley. What's up, Warren?
Hey, brothers. Thanks for taking the call.
Of course.
I appreciate all your enthusiasm.
Warren, you're... All right, we're going to put you back on... Let me put you back on hold really quick, Warren, because it was breaking up. Let's try and kick it off with Chris in Dover. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on?
Doing great.
I'd be blown away, knocked off my feet if he makes anything of an impact that will make a difference. The first thing was the David Robertson experiment. I mean, I know you're just doing a flyer, right? Guy's probably, I mean, the guy is...
Yeah, you have nothing really to lose by doing it.
No, you don't, other than $6 million, but it's not our money, right?
And it is money against the luxury tax, and it could impact, you know, the strategy. But no, in terms of just on paper, like, you might as well. He built his innings back up, it's unlikely that he's worse than the worst guy in your bullpen.
That's a good point. Doesn't move the needle, though, right? But, and he's in a tricky part. To your point, and you make a really good point, the players haven't gotten enough scrutiny with this team. Now, I don't mean the star players. Schwarber, Harper, and Wheeler, and Turner to a degree.
Well, Turner was a huge reason they lost last year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Sure. Like, yeah. like he was awful in that Mets series. And so I just think it is worth mentioning that we can sit here and, you know, criticize the deadline he had last year getting Estevez and Hayes, and those guys are having better seasons this year than they than their time in Philadelphia. Austin Hayes got a coli. Like, it kind of just unfortunately didn't work itself out here. But there is not a guy or guys he could have acquired last year that would have undone the rest of the bullpen falling apart and the offense having no discipline at all against the Mets. Like, that was the players that were already here that were always going to be on the team failing the Phillies. That wasn't Dombrowski failing the Phillies. Like, the reason they got bounced like that.
I totally agree with you on that point. I think that his moves at the deadline the last 2 years just haven't worked out, let's be honest. But I think those three players more than do their share and are studs. It's the surrounding parts that got to do their part. And the other thing is I just thought, lost my train of thought for a second. It's just, who do you go after? Who's the guy? And are you willing, I'm going to ask you this question. Are you willing to trade Painter for the right piece? And it's got to be a big piece. Would you be willing to trade him in a right deal? Eugenio Suarez, he's a rental, a great bat, a right-handed bat. But if you get him, you got to make three other moves on your team with moving players around.
Yeah, it's going to get tricky. And Chris, I appreciate the call. Justin, what do you think? And I know you're on the phone here, so take your time. But what do you think? I'm blanking on his name. Joe in the Northeast blood pressure would get up to if they acquired Eugenio Suarez, and as a result, they had to move Kyle Schwarber to playing left field every day.
Oh, well, yeah, he wouldn't respond to that well, but I would be thrilled because to have 36 home runs behind 36 home runs, could you imagine? That would just be an unbelievable power threat to be able to have. And for a team that doesn't hit home runs and they're about middle of the pack in the league in homers right now, like, having that 3-4 potentially in your lineup, or 2-3, however you want to line it up, like, that would be incredible.
It would be. And now you're looking at Boehm DHing. Like, the reason why it would displace Schwarber is because now there's nowhere for Boehm to play. Suarez is a third baseman.
Yeah, you probably rotate Bryce and Boehm DH in first base and figure it out that way.
I think Suarez could play second base.
Well, so we actually talked about this last weekend when I was on with Rob,
yeah.
And he is played shortstop and third only in his career.
I was going to say, it just feels like him learning to play second base couldn't possibly be worse than Schwarber in left. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, you're totally displacing Stott.
You do go from Stott, who I guess is a pretty plus-plus defender, to probably a guy who's never played second base in the major leagues. Yeah.
You're going all. And Eugenio Suarez is definitely feels like the prized possession at this trade deadline. He will go for the highest rate of any player, and Phillies appear to be in on the bidding. I would guess that goes down to the final day, and it's just a never-ending, all right, who's got the best package kind of situation. Dombrowski probably would have to, quote-unquote, overpay for him, like multiple blue-chip prospects to go get him. It's the cost of doing business these days, though.
But, hey, if the Diamondbacks are selling, and there were some reports on this on Friday, if Ketel Marte is available, you give up a King's ransom for Ketel Marte.
He fits
this lineup perfectly.
He does.
Yeah, Bryson Stott, the offensive production out of him is just really rough right now.
It's brutal.
And you get a guy who's done it for a long time. He's been on winning teams. He's got 20 home runs this year for a guy who isn't so, quote-unquote, a power hitter. And he would fit this lineup perfectly.
Yeah. How about Joe getting annoyed that Stott's sitting versus a lefty? Like, that's something new.
I think that once, you know, everyone's healthy and Alec Boehm is back playing third base, Otto Kemp and Bryson Stott should be platooning. Like, Otto Kemp, I think, gives you a lot versus lefties at the plate right now.
How about Sosa?
Well, like, yeah, that too.
I, if I was making the lineup card, I get that you got to manage personalities and there's other things that go into it. If I was managing this lineup right now and everyone was healthy and you just said to me, like, put out your best nine to go win a game, I'm playing Edmundo Sosa most nights over Bryson Stott. Like, it's getting hard to justify. I get he's a good second baseman defensive-wise, but he does not give you enough at the plate offensive-wise. And this is a large enough sample size to say that Sosa is a far better hitter than Bryson Stott is.
Yeah, and I think once the season is over, we'll have a much more serious Bryson Stott conversation.
Probably,
about
but I
what's going to look like next year.
I want to contend for the World Series.
Well, yeah, and that's why I think Marte just really would slide in perfect. But he would be a guy that would cost you. He probably would cost you Painter, which would be tough.
I don't think they're going to do.
And Marte's controllable for a few more years, too, which would be really, really interesting.
I was pulling up, and we'll get more on the trade deadline in the next segment here, but ESPN did like their trade deadline primer and like a percentage of chance that each guy gets moved. Eugenio Suarez' current chance that gets moved is 90%.
I mean, when are you going to have a guy where he's hitting 36 plus home runs?
And everyone agrees he's getting moved by Thursday.
And you're going to have a guy who's on a contract year who you probably weren't bringing back anyway to, you know, you're going to be able to get so much for this guy. And if you're the Diamondbacks, that's a no-brainer.
No, there's zero reason to bring him back. They're not in any position to contend. They have fallen off over the last couple of years. The Phillies still trying to make the most of their window. 215-592-9494. That is the number how you get in. Coming up next, some audio from Bob Nightingale regarding one high-profile outfielder that the Phillies have been linked to, but also a guy with a Phillies hat actually went in the Baseball Hall of Fame today. First time in 29 years that a Philly went in the Hall of Fame. We'll get to that a little bit in the next segment as well. It's Buzz with you, Justin Morgenstein producing here on a Sunday night, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein is behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the number how you get in. I mentioned it before the break, but so Dick Allen goes in the Hall of Fame today. Two former Phillies actually went in the Hall of Fame today. Dick Allen, the late great Dick Allen. Billy Wagner also went in, who of course was a Phillies reliever for a couple of years there. Billy Wagner both guys who took forever to get in. Billy Wagner in the final year of eligibility, I believe. And Dick Allen, who all these years later got it through in the Veterans Committee, like felt like it would never happen. Kind of, I heard Crux saying this on the broadcast, like kind of a bummer that he didn't live to see it. Like now all these years later, they finally push him through and his wife gives the speech. And, you know, obviously better late than never, but His numbers have been the numbers, and he's been Hall of Fame eligible for a really long time at this point. But something that I hadn't really thought about until I saw our guy Tucker Bagley point this out, so shout out to him, which is that obviously the Phillies have had Hall of Fame players go in, like have had players play for them and go in the Hall of Fame in my lifetime. But this is the first time in 29 years since 1996 when Jim Bunning went in that a Phillies player physically wearing a Phillies hat went in the Hall of Fame. You think of Roy Halladay, who went in with no hat. He retired as a Blue Jay, went in with no hat. They kept it neutral. The Halladay family did. And Tommy, who went in with a Cleveland hat. So no one has like been identified as a Philly, as someone going in the Hall of Fame, Justin, in our lifetime, literally until today.
Yeah, I think it was safe to say Roland wasn't going to pick the Phillies.
Scott Roland did not. Well, he did come back for Wall of Fame Day, and he accepted it with grace. Believe it or not, did not wear the Phillies hat on his Hall of Fame plaque. He's another guy who's in the Hall of Fame. Billy Wagner, believe it or not, did not do it either. So there's probably been about the last four or five former Pedro Martinez barely count. I don't think anyone was waiting with bated breath to see if he was going to pick the Red Sox or not. But, or especially if he would even, you know, consider the Phillies for his 1 year. But, like, that is four or five Hall of Famers in a row all in our lifetime who played for the Phillies, made it in, but now actually a guy who you and I never watched play, but actually going to Cooperstown today, like, as a Philly, which I think is pretty cool and probably the only guy, I believe, and it seems like the consensus trending in this direction. Of all the 08 guys, Utley's got the best chance, and I think this is probably the only quote-unquote Philly, you know, Philly's hat guy to go into Cooperstown until a potential Utley induction. So It's been 29 years. It might be a little while until it happens again, but the first time in anyone who's been born since 1996's lifetime that a guy who identifies as a Philly goes into Cooperstown. So for anyone, you know, perhaps some of our older listeners out there who remember watching Dick Allen play, who, you know, just want to express what this day means to you. I know it was a long, hard fight to get this guy through. I've produced many Rob Cherry shows on days in December where the voting, or it's December or January, the voting usually comes out. And he was pushing for Dick Allen to make it each and every year. And for this day to finally happen, I'm sure there's a lot of Phillies fans out there who never actually believed that this day would come. I'm sure for Dick Allen's family, and if Dick Allen were still alive, he never actually believed this day would come, getting passed up for far too long. So if you just want to call in and tell us, you know, what Dick Allen actually going into Cooperstown today means, his plaque will sit in among baseball royalty forever with a Phillies hat on his head. You are certainly welcome to do that at 215-592-9494. Now back to the current Phils for a second. So I mentioned the Bob Nightingale audio, which is that a lot of reports over the last couple of days that the Phillies are heavily interested in Luis Robert. Now here was some audio, Justin, that actually made me feel better about this whole situation. Here was Nightingale on the Phillies' interest in Luis Robert.
The Phillies aren't sold on him. They think he's okay. I can see him mulling more with the Phillies. They're not crazy. They made some bad moves. I mean, when they signed Max Kepler, everybody in Minnesota laughed like, you're kidding me. He's going to have a terrible season. It's not going to work. It hasn't worked. So they're lukewarm on Luis Robert. And they're right up against the luxury tax, too, where, you know, they already did it with Dave Robertson. They still want another reliever. So I don't think they want to give up, you know, much at all for any center fielder, let alone Robert. I think they'd rather plug that hole in and get one more bullpen arm. So they like Robert okay, but not as much as the Mets do.
Couple things from that clip that we need to highlight. Number one, I'm calling him Dan Robertson. That's pretty good.
Must have gotten confused with lockdown reliever Daniel Robert.
Of course. That's must have been what he was thinking. Just combine the two. Number two, that Kepler story. I know it got played a couple of days ago, and this is now the second time Nightingale has remembered it. You know how bad it has to be for the Twins to like be laughing at the Phillies being like, yeah, good luck with Max Kepler. They knew, everyone knew. I'm trying to have faith in Dave Dombrowski. The offseason he just had, probably not going to go down as one. When Dave Dombrowski goes into Cooperstown, I don't think they're going to mention the offseason he had entering the 25 season. Yeah. I don't think that'll be on the plaque.
Philly's Twitter is waiting bated breath for the Max Kepler DFA tweet that hopefully will be coming
on
this week.
Friday before the Tigers series. And the last thing in there is obviously that they're lukewarm on Robert, that they don't seem to have the same level of interest as maybe a team like the Mets do or some of the other contenders, which is frankly music to my ears. Justin, I don't know where you stand on Robert. I get the appeal of him. He's got a lot of potential. He feels like a project, not a guy who's going to help you win this season. He's not a win-now type of option. I'm going to be disappointed if their big outfield acquisition is Luis Robert. That feels like a disaster in the nutshell of this season, ready to happen.
So he's definitely an imperfect player, and he wouldn't be the bat that ideally you'd like to bring in to contend this year. But I do think that if you got him for, you know, pennies on the dollar, and if you didn't have to give up any of your major prospect pool, it's a reclamation project I would be cool with taking. Because
I just don't have the patience for a reclamation
You know what you're going to get in center field, and I know that that's been a thing that we've often, you know, had here, good defensive center fielders that can't really hit. But at the same time, he has the speed, he has the defense, and he's been such a talented, highly talented hitting prospect that I think if you got him here in a different situation, just were able to, you know, kind of take his swing and maybe make some mechanical adjustments, if you could get anything out of him that, you know, he was expected when he came up with the White Sox, like if you got that for a cheap price, I think that would be a potential home run.
I feel like Billy Bean in Moneyball going, if he's a good hitter, why doesn't he hit good?
Well, yeah, that is a good point.
It is insane. It's not been for just a short stretch here. We're coming up on like two seasons of him being a sub 700 OPS guy. Not great. Not great at all for Luis Robert. 215-592-9494. Let's get Aaron in Jeffersonville, who wants to talk Phillies and I believe Dick Allen going to the Hall of Fame today. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing great.
Okay, so yeah, we're talking a little bit Dick Allen, a lot of it Dick Allen, a little bit Schwarber, but I no offense to your station, but I feel like you did a disservice. You literally just made my point. The first actual Philly besides Harry Callis, unless you want to count him, going into the Hall of Fame since, you know, Schmidt and Ashburn. And there was such little amount on this station about it. I mean, here's a guy, I'm 60 years old. I remember when he came back. I mean, he was my father's favorite player. The reason he left here with the racism and everything that happened was horrible. And he came back and he handled himself so well, in my opinion. Came back here in 1975 with the Dave Cash Yes We Can team in 1976. I remember going to a game and seeing him hit a home run against St. Louis with my dad. And my dad, like, between cheers and tears, you know, he meant a lot to a lot of us who literally, you know, are the heart and soul of the Philadelphia Phillies that are now. I mean, I just feel like it's forgotten and it's uncomfortable that a guy goes in the Hall of Fame after such a decorated career in this city. This is the Phillies' flagship station. You could barely hear a peep about it. So I'm a little bit disappointed about it, but let's go to today's ceremony.
So just, Aaron, really quick, I can't speak for, you know, other hosts and how they prep their shows. I felt the need to mention it because whether it's, you know, on these airwaves or otherwise, I felt like, and I feel like I'm pretty plugged into what's going on. I obviously work here. I produce a lot of the games. Fortunate enough to go to a lot of the games. I read everything I can about this team. I follow all the accounts I should about this team. And, like, it felt like until today, when he actually went in the Hall of Fame, that someone had articulated it that way, the way that Tucker did, who also, I'll give him a shout-out, works here at WIP on our digital staff, saying, like, this is the first time in 29 years a guy specifically with the Phillies P. You know, I'd see people mention that Dick Allen was going in today. I'm not saying that was not covered. But the idea that he was the first one since Bunning in 96 to identify as a Philly, to choose, you know, the team of his career to be the Phillies going. I think it was across the board. It kind of felt like just under the radar, under talked about. And,
well, especially not only under talked about, but you talk about like that guy Froggy, the former guy who worked at the efforts put in by different people to get him in. I mean, I'm going to give you an analogy. When Ray Dittinger got Tommy McDonald into the Hall of Fame, it had a similar vibe, except let me say it differently. It felt similar, but it was not treated the same way. Like Tommy McDonald, you know, there's a play about it and everything. Dick Allen still got disrespected getting into the Hall of Fame, just like I did not get in. And Sonny Hill this morning on your station did a hell of a job remembering him and talking about it. And, you know, and I listened to it all morning, and I just wanted to give, you know, shout out to Dick Allen, the reading of his plaque, you know, his wife out there today. I thought it was awesome. I wish I could have gone, but I could not get out there. So I want to keep the vibe up of, you know, hats off and shout out to Dick Allen and his family, and God bless his, you know, RIP to him. And lastly, I just want to make a last comment about Kyle Schwarber. I don't know what you guys feel about, but I know what most valuable means in terms of most valuable player. I want to know how he's not in the lead for most valuable player when you talk about his leadership, his numbers, and what he means. I mean, take him off this team, we're probably barely 500. I'll hang up and listen
to
your thoughts.
Well, Aaron, I appreciate the call. Disagree that they're barely 500 without Kyle Schwarber. He's a hell of a player, but no one hitter has that kind of impact. And the reason why he's not in the lead for MVP voting or for MVP odds is because Shohei Ohtani exists. But I do think the way Schwarber's playing right now, he has a potential for like a top five, even top three.
I think he should be in the top three right now.
Like, it feels like he is on the way to be a top three MVP finisher, and I do think Ohtani will get it again, but he's right there. And that's the only reason he didn't start the All-Star game at DH is because, look at it this way. The fact that Ohtani started the All-Star game, which caused Schwarber to be a reserve and be the DH and therefore still stick around to do the home run derby, is the reason why he won All-Star game MVP. If roles are reversed, if Ohtani's still in the AL, Schwarber starts the game. I don't know, Schwarber feels like he has the character of a guy who might have stuck around anyway.
Wouldn't been on the plane already.
Probably wouldn't have been on the plane anyway, unlike these prima donna stars of Ohtani and Judge.
Yeah,
back in the day when Schwarber was coming up, these guys really cared about the game. And he feels like he's got a little bit different character than maybe some of the big-time stars. Maybe he would have stuck around, maybe he wouldn't. But all I'm saying is that could have had a direct correlation to him actually still being in the game, participating in that home run derby, and like Ohtani would have done it instead. And here there's a situation where Schwarber actually wins MVP of the All-Star game. So listen, he is on his way to being one of the top three guys in the National League. It'll also be interesting to see what happens. So, Eugenio Suarez, who he's at 35 home runs right now currently.
35 or 36.
Something like that. Like, always interesting when a guy having a season like that, Justin, switches leagues. Now, the difference between the leagues isn't what it used to be, but in terms of MVP voting, like where, you know, it kind of screws his case to of where he would finish. Not that I think he's going to win MVP either, but he's not going to have like a top five or top 10, whatever it is, NL MVP finish if he gets traded to the AL here. So that's, you remember, are you, when I age myself, are you old enough to remember when a guy got traded midseason, they would literally reset the board on his stats? I think they stopped that like late 2000s.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't remember
like
that.
The leagues used to be so separate. I'm probably the cutoff on this. The leagues used to be so separate that a guy who got dealt this time of year, like let's say Suarez goes, you know, got traded to the Yankees or something, or Ryan McMahon just got traded to the Yankees, right? That first day on the broadcast, they would put up all his averages. It would just be like zeros.
Well, that'd be good for Ryan McMahon, who's batting about 215.
Yeah, he would just hit the reset button. It's like stats and the leagues used to be regarded as such separate entities that stats and the NL, if you got shipped to the AL or vice versa, would not carry over.
Well, you were talking about the, 21 straight days of interleague play that the...
Not even possible.
Our kids might not even know the term interleague play.
It really is just one big league now. It's not the same thing that it used to be. 215-592-9494. That is the number how you get in. One more segment left to play. We'll keep talking Phillies. Also, Justin and I are going to quickly preview this big DeCamera Fritz tennis match coming up on Tuesday. And some audio that if you haven't heard, it's something Joe said on the morning show on Friday. Very damning for the psyche of these two men going into Tuesday's tennis match. We'll get that to you next. It's Buzz with you, Justin Morgenstein producing here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein is behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the number how to hop aboard. It'll be Kyle Forsini coming up at the top of the hour, so be sure you stay tuned for him. A few more quick orders of business before we get out of here. So this big DeCamera Fritz round three tennis match is Tuesday at noon at FDR Park. And for anyone who has not yet heard it, this is how Joe DeCamera decided to talk smack on Friday morning during the morning show.
Drago was doing a punching exposition where you could see him punch whatever it was, 3,000 PSI.
I know he was.
Or something.
Seltzer, should I charge up this me and Fritz thing by doing the Clubber Lang thing to Fritz's wife? Hey, woman.
I would not.
You lie in bed that, and you wish you had a real man.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I would.
Yes.
I don't know how well that one would go.
Probably not doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joe.
That is how you get punched in the face.
Now, underrated part of that clip, and all the times I've heard it played on the station since, is that, listen, Ike making no bones about it, that Joe crossed the line by making that joke. Richie, who is anti-Joe in this whole thing, right on board with him taking that approach, kind of shouldn't get lost in the shuffle here. I don't know whether it was this clip and the reaction Jack had to it, or the fact that Justin, apparently you guys face a little adversity. The one tennis court you guys went to check is now a pickleball court. You offer to go find another court for him, and he said, whatever, I'll figure it out. And he didn't feel like playing tennis anymore. I mean, I'm starting to get the sense that Jack doesn't really want it that badly.
So I did get an update today.
Did he play this weekend?
I was texting back and forth with Jack this morning.
Okay.
And he said, texted me today, said, I think you will be surprised by my tennis game. And I said, okay. Wait, you look good out there? And he said, I was getting the hang of it. So I think he's doing well. And also, just to let you know, it's going to be 96 degrees and sunny
on Tuesday.
It's
going to be a scorcher. The weather, it was pretty hot for the baseball challenge. Not that hot. The water and the hydration could be a major factor on Tuesday.
I think Vegas should definitely consider making a disqualification via dehydration line for at least one of these.
For Joe, more than likely. My biggest fear in all of this is that, there's just an emotion. This feels like a classic emotional letdown spot for Jack. You know, he kind of went in a little arrogant to golf, lost that in an emotional meltdown. Then in baseball, he really locks in. He's listening to his high school pump up playlist on the way there, totally blocks out all the noise and goes and dominates. And now that it's on to tennis, it feels like he's back to same old like laissez-faire Jack, and he's not really locked in anymore. Which is it's kind of hard to get behind him when he's acting like that.
I just, between DeCamera running the way he does and the groin stuff, like a set of tennis in that heat is not easy. And if you're not in good shape and you're not able to move around well, like six games of tennis is a lot. Like, I don't see how he's going to be able to hold up just his body.
By the way, because I know there's a lot of debate of this going into baseball, and you're in the afternoon meeting every day. Has there been any talk of a line judge? Do we have an official for this? I know in high school tennis, you call your own ins and outs. That doesn't feel like something that would work on Tuesday. Do we have any word
on
official?
We do not have a line judge, but I was told it is a gentleman's sport.
So they're going to call their own ins and outs?
That should. That's how it works. And yeah, that's how it works in high school tennis.
That feels a little dicey when it comes to someone like Joe DeCamera, who could easily say that Jack makes a bad call. First of all, that's a problem for two
Joe,
reasons.
Never.
Joe's going to complain that Jack made a bad call, and Jack, who in just a was non-confrontational willingness to just comply and keep it moving, I could very well see making a bad call against himself just so he didn't hear the argument. That feels like a recipe for disaster.
Shut his hole!
Exactly right. So I don't know. Feels, and do we also know, I'm sure this has been decided upon because all the tiebreaker rules for everything else has been decided last minute. If they tie 6-6, are we
going to 7-point tiebreaker.
They have decided on
Correct.
That. Okay, well, all right. I'm excited to see what Jack has here, and hopefully he can lock in for Tuesday. That's going to do it for me. Again, a little shorty show here. Guys on hold, stay tuned. Kyle Forsini has got you next. I'm going to guess he's talking a lot of baseball over the next 3 hours, so he will do a great job. I will be staying tuned for him. Justin Morgenstein, thank you so much for producing. He will be sticking around as well. I will be back with you tomorrow night producing, and then back next weekend hosting. So stay tuned for Kyle and Justin, who will be behind the glass the remainder of the night as well. Talk to you later. Talk to you on Monday. This has been Buzz over the last hour and a half right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports,
Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.